A lot of us want to rule the world around us when we have not yet been able to harness our own.
Dr. Tony Evans says we can't start living a new life until we stop living the old one.
One of the reasons why we're not ruling our personal worlds is that the thing that's supposed to die is still alive.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If you're ready for some better living, Dr. Evans says it may have to start with some better dying. He'll explain today as he takes us to Matthew chapter 16 for today's lesson.
I am sure you, like myself, have had a problem physically that wasn't healing. It wasn't going away. Probably your first response was to go over the counter to see if you could fix it yourself. And so you went to the local drugstore and you got what you thought or somebody else thought would make things better for your physical life, only to discover that what you could get over the counter yourself was not working. It did not resolve your problem, indicating this must be more serious than I first thought. That then led you to go to the doctor to get a professional analysis of what was wrong. He let you know that either what you thought was wrong wasn't the real problem, or even if it was the real problem, it was worse than you thought. And so he takes out his or her pad and makes a prescription. That prescription then takes you to a deeper place. What is true often of our bodies is also true with our lives. Something is not right, and the stuff we're using isn't working. It's not that we're not sincere. We go and we try to get something to make it better, but we keep getting worse, and it won't go away. I want you to join me because I want us to go to the pharmacy. And I want to write a little different kind of prescription based on God's word for your life and mine. Because if you're like so many, life is not working. The word for soul in the Greek is psuche. Psuche means soul. It's spoken of four times in two verses. He says in chapter 16, 25, for whoever wishes to save his psuche, it's translated life, but the Greek word is the word for soul, which is the essence of human life, will lose it. But whosoever loses his psuche, his soul, that is his real life, for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his psuche, his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his psuche, his soul? Your soul is you. It's the core of your life. What makes you different than the person you're sitting next to is not fundamentally your frame, your house, your body. That's just a container for the life. And the life is the psuche. It is the soul, which incorporates your mind, your capacity to think, your emotions, your capacity to feel, and your will, your capacity to choose. That is the life that God has given each one of us, and that makes us unique and distinct from those next to us. Jesus today wants to say a word to us about your life, your psuche, your soul. And if you will track with me, I want to be as specific as I can to walk you through this, because I believe that even as I studied it, it was a life-transforming truth. Now, the context in which the psuche is going to be addressed is very intriguing. Jesus has been talking to his disciples about the fact, verse 21, that he's got to suffer, die, and rise again. He's kind of laying out the game plan for what's happening next with his life, with his disciples. Peter does not like the sermon. He doesn't like what Jesus is teaching about his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. So verse 22 says, Peter took him aside. Jesus, come over here, because you obviously haven't studied. That's a terrible sermon. Come over here. Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke him. Now that's guts, to rebuke Jesus. Jesus, you have missed the mark. You off. You have missed it. How can you be preaching a sermon like that, full of pain and disappointment? No, you have missed it. In fact, not only have you missed it, but you've missed God. He says, God forbid it. In other words, what you talking, I'm praying against. I'm praying against God doing, or you going through what you just said you were going to go through. God forbid it. Now, here's an interesting word. God forbid it, Lord. You Lord and all that, but you miss God on this one. So Peter's been in church, best church you could go to, Jesus is the preacher, listening to Jesus and doesn't like the sermon. The sermon is too full of negatives, suffering and death, and it's too full of stuff he didn't like. And so he did like y'all do when y'all go home and talk about my sermons. I'm not feeling you, Jesus. In fact, stronger than that, I'm rebuking you. Jesus turns around, verse 23, and says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Wait a minute, I thought, Jesus, you were just talking to Peter. Oh, no, I was talking to the devil using Peter. Get thee behind me, devil. But wait a minute, he's just looking out for you. That's the devil. He's just concerned that you don't hurt anymore. That's the devil. He's just concerned that you don't suffer and die. It's the devil. Peter was using Jesus's pain unknowingly to thwart Jesus's purpose. And he became a stumbling block, it says. A stumbling block was used of a trap with bait to trick. Satan had tricked Peter in being used by him to block Jesus from achieving his purpose. And what caught Peter's attention was the pain involved in arriving at the purpose. Jesus has been talking about his cross. He's going to die. Satan wants to keep him from dying. Why does Satan want to keep Jesus from dying, and Jesus does not want Satan to keep him from dying? Because at the cross, his power would be broken. Jesus Christ canceled legally the authority of the principalities and powers. Satan lost dominion at the cross. Okay, keep that in mind. Because our question is, if Satan lost dominion at the cross, how come I'm having so much trouble? In spite of the fact I go to church, in spite of the fact I pray, read the Bible, Jesus now makes the transition from him to his disciples. Verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, it's going to require that, watch this, you say no to you. You say no to you. He says, anyone, no exceptions, who wants me involved with them, they've got to learn to say no to them. You must say no to you. You have to understand something. Our biggest problem is not outside of us. Our biggest problem is us. Then he says the third thing you've got to do is follow him. The question is, where are you going? When Jesus Christ picked up his cross and he started walking, where was he going? To Calvary. If you want me, you must say no to you. Be willing to identify with me by raising the cross above your own soul, and you must carry this cross to the place of crucifixion where death occurs. One of the reasons why we're not ruling our personal worlds is that the thing that's supposed to die is still alive. So, it is a decision to go and to drag your soul to the place of death, because therein is the place of life. On the cross, the battle was won, but there is an insurgency that doesn't want to give up the location. And the insurgency is waging war in the soul. It's waging war in the soul. Your problem is now not the devil out here, but the soul in here. See, that's where your insurgency, the devil has been defeated. Romans 16, he's under your feet. But there is a soul problem. And the problem in the soul is our desire to save what God wants to kill. Oh. That's why the way Satan works is to burn his CD thinking onto your mind. He can't make you do anything, but he can burn his thoughts into the CD of your thoughts so that they become your thoughts. And therefore, they're adopted into your soul. He can make you do like Adam and Eve, feel the way he feels. He can make you or influence you to want to choose the way he chooses by burning his thinking into your thinking. Now stick with me, because we're going to go to another layer now. The soul is perverted because of sin and is transformed only when the spirit emerges to dominate it. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, we are one now with the spirit. James 1:21 says, receive the word implanted. You got an implant in you. Implant is in your soul. You receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. It is able to deliver your life. It is able to cause life to be lived under the rule of God and not under the rule of you. God does not want you ruling you, because that's distortion ruling you. Every soul is distorted. Some just shows up more distorted than others. But every soul is distorted. Conversion has given you a new implant in your soul. Jesus says a seed cannot grow unless it's buried. John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25 says, unless you bury that seed, he says, if you bury it, then it will sprout up to eternal life. He goes from suke to zoe, eternal life, life eternal. He goes from the soul life to the God life. We're stifling the God life by arguing for the soul, the me part. This is me. God doesn't want you to be me unless the being me is him. Because only him can let you be the true me that you were created to be. So it's not trying to make the soul a better soul. That's what sinners can make the soul a better soul. It's trying to transform the soul through the progressive influence of the spirit as the seed grows within. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, seize eternal life. Timothy's already saved, but he says, the life you have within you, grab it. Go get that life. Don't just try to make yourself a better soul, a more impressive soul, a more educated soul.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more on that when he continues this message from his series, Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. It's a 12-lesson look at what being created in the image of God really means when it comes to taking control of situations and circumstances in your life. You'll discover the power you need to set directions and establish boundaries and stop letting Satan have the last word. It's so important for you to find the spiritual clout you never thought you had that we're offering this entire 2-volume collection as our gift to anyone who can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any size. We can only make this offer available for a few more days, and we don't want you to miss out. So visit us today at TonyEvans.org, where you can find all the details and make your request. While you're there, get the latest information on a pair of events designed for your church's leadership team. The first is the Kingdom Agenda Leadership Expo, coming April 30th through May 1st in Dallas. It's followed immediately by the Pastor Summit from May 1st through 3rd. Your leaders will come back equipped with proven strategies they can put right to work in children's ministry, worship, media, administration, finance, and every other area of church operations. Again, details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you right after part two of today's lesson and this.
You know when God has cursed a land, when its fathers are nowhere to be found.
Dr. Tony Evans says that what becomes of the next generation of men depends on what happens with this one.
Our kids need to see men who love God and who love them.
Kingdom Men Rising, a new film that empowers men to be courageous, loving leaders who can change the course of their kids' lives. In theaters April 29th and 30th. For showtimes and locations, visit tonyevans.org.
Turn back a couple pages to chapter 11. Jesus is praying in verse 25. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Okay, I'm showing you in a minute. He's going to talk about your soul. He says the stuff that will make people different is not available to the wise and the intelligent. In other words, you're not going to get a better soul by going to Harvard or Yale or MIT or having all the sophistication. You may not even get a better soul going to seminary because that may just be religious information. He says, having A on your report card doesn't give you a better soul. In fact, he says, if you are depending on your wisdom and intellect, you are limiting the transformation of the soul. Because God's not going to be involved with you. Because pride is taking over. And that's what got Adam caught in the first place. His independence. So if you're going to be so brilliant that you don't need me, fine. You won't have me. But you have decided to reveal it to babes. Infants. What are infants? Dependent. Mother's got to feed them. Mother's got to clothe them. Mother's got to raise them. You know, infants don't know much. So they got to get all the information from parent. God says, let's stop doing what Peter did, thinking man's way, which is just messing up everything. I'm going to give you a different way. It's going to conflict with your normal way, but it is the only way. Watch this now, because it's getting ready to get gooder. He says, yes, Father, for this is well-pleasing in your sight. Verse 27, all things have been handed me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him, which is not the wise and intelligent in the human point of view. So he says, me and the Father have agreed on how we're going to do this. So now let me tell you how we're going to do this if you want your life to be ruled by you the proper way and not lived in distortion the way it's been lived, even though you've been a Christian for 25 years. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Okay, so here's the first question. Anybody tired? You know what? Because if you're tired, and if you're tired of being tired, you qualify. If you're tired of trying to make life work and it's not working, if you're tired of trying to live your life and tired of making bad decisions and tired of being unhappy and tired of being depressed and tired of popping pills that were never designed to do what God was supposed to do for you, and you're tired and you're tired and you're tired, then the rest of this is for you. If you're not tired, ask God to make you tired so that you can get this. Because if you're not tired, then it doesn't apply. Come unto me, all you who are weary and are burdened down, and I'll give you rest. You mean I don't have to buy it? It's free? You're going to give me rest? Well, what you going to give me that's going to give me rest? Uh-oh. What you going to give me that's going to make life flow for me the way it's supposed to flow? What you going to give me that's going to put me in control of my life? I'll tell you what I'm going to give you, Jesus said. I'm going to give you a yoke. Wait a minute, isn't that what the verse says? Verse 39 says, I'm going to give you rest. How you going to give me rest? By yoking you. A yoke is a harness. How you going to give me rest if you're going to hook me up? You're going to put something around my neck. A yoke was used for a horse or an ox that was pulling a plow. He says, I'm going to yoke you in order to rest you. Okay? I'm going to yoke you. I'm going to put this harness over you. Take my yoke upon you. So you're not in this yoke by yourself. We're in this yoke together. Because it's not your yoke, it's my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me how to pull this plow called your life. Don't try to learn from you or your friends or the television or your homies or your posse or your peer group. He said, learn from me how to run this thing called your life, how to pull this plow called your life. Why should I hook up with you? Because I am gentle and humble. I know how to treat you as we go along. I'm gentle and humble. I'm not going to rough you up with my yoke. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for you. What? You'll find rest for your souls. I'm not going to just give you physical rest. You're going to be resting deep down where you live, mind, emotions, and will. He says, if you learn of me, the spiritual seed, you will find that I'm going to give you rest. But you say, if I have rest, why am I not experiencing it? Because you're not sticking with the yoke. If you'll just flow with me, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you'll flow with me, then you will find rest for your soul. And then it closes with, oh, I love this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, the reason you should flow with me in this thing, it's because my yoke, it's a yoke, it's a harness, but it's an easy harness. The harness you have on, and everybody has a harness, the harness you have on is a hard harness, but I've got an easy harness. Now let me tell you what the Greek word easy means. The Greek word easy means that which is necessary. That's what the Greek word easy means. If you are screwing in a big bolt into a beam and you're trying to screw it with your fingers, you can only go so far. And you can't screw that thing in tight enough with your fingers because your finger and your arm is not strong enough to get the bolt all the way through, at least not get it through tight. So what do? You go get a wrench, you go get a pair of pliers, or you go get a screwdriver because that is necessary to make the adjustment that you need to make. If you go to your soul to fix your life, you don't have what is necessary to tighten the soul and to keep it intact. But if you use my yoke is what is necessary in order for your soul to be brought in harmony. Not only will I give you what is necessary, but your burden is light. He didn't say you won't have a burden, but they'll be a lot lighter than the ones that you're currently carrying. In other words, instead of your difficulties handling you, you will now handle your difficulties. Somebody's here today with a burden. Jesus said, are you tired yet? Are you weary yet? I got some wheels. You can roll this thing. It may not go away, but you can control it rather than it controlling you. God wants to do something in somebody's life today.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how God gives us the power to change our personal world, part of his 12-message series called Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. As I mentioned earlier, we're offering the 12 CDs in this collection as our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount. This offer ends on Thursday, so be sure to call us right away at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center never closes, so don't wait. 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. While you're there, follow along with Tony as he takes us through the Bible on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This week, we're looking together at the 23rd Psalm. Also, you can sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional and join a special group of people praying for the Kingdom Men Rising movie you heard about earlier. That's TonyEvans.org. Next time, Dr. Evans turns his attention to the role that Scripture can play in giving us the power we need to carry out God's assignment to rule our own lives. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.